It's 7 o'clock.
Blog Talk Radio.
You know, I have to tell everybody, you're going to have to get used to that little electronic voice saying the time. It's my Mac, and it's doing its job. Welcome to the Consciousness Shift. I'm Gwen Berry. Nicole is in the studio tonight, New York, recording with the guys, so she isn't with us, but we have a wonderful guest with us this evening who is going to, it's exciting. We have somebody who is a trance channel. Her name is Annette Sassou, and she's also known as, now do I pronounce that as Asara?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And she's been trance channeling since 2005. During two near-death experiences as a child, she received a unique connection to the highest realms of light, which is assisting her in her channelings. Now, currently, she channels Adama of Telos and Archangel Michael and Zora. Is that how you pronounce it, Annette? Zora?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Of Hollow Earth. And she will be speaking through... First, we're going to speak with Annette about how she became a trance channeler and her journey before then. She's also the founder of the Telos Channel, an online broadcasting website for her channeled work, and she is the creator of the channeled seminar series, The 12 Activations of Light, connecting you with your 12 chakra, the extended chakra system that we're trying to integrate these days. And you can also find there is a link on our show page to her Telos channel. And if you'll be patient with me a minute, Annette, I'm going to switch over here to Astro Flash just on my board here. And Flash Silver Moon put out the monthly horoscope for July. And since we'll be well into July next week for next week's show, well, we'll have a foothold in it anyway. We are in growing dark of the moon, and full moon is on July 3rd. That's Tuesday, and this full moon is in a Capricorn. Is in Capricorn, not a Capricorner, unless we want to get a little strange. It's an earth sign, so we're all going to be grounding a little bit. We've had some real rock and roll show for the last couple of years, indeed, since October 28th and the conclusion or AHA 13. And then we're coming up now, of course, to the winter solstice alignment with our star, our life giver, the sun, and Hunabku, or the center of the galaxy. Many different cultures call it many different things, but it is the core around which we are anchored in the universe and traveling in a spiral. And so, we're in the zone right now, trying to ground that all into you. We're in the zone. And this week, the moon that was Pluto, and I'm trying, excuse me here while I'm doing this, there was an alignment or a the intense and subversive Pluto, so it's close to the moon and Mars, and it just entered the cardinal sign of Libra with the Cancer sun opposing the moon and unpredictable Uranus in Aries squaring the moon and Pluto. There will be plenty of fireworks before Independence Day arrives. So in other words, this week is a very active week on planet Earth. And remember, as above, so below. We've got a lot of different scenes and a lot of different issues that are coming alive right now. Indeed, today there was quite a few. The sun right now at the time of the full moon, too, is at 12 degrees Cancer, which conjoins the star Sirius, the dog star. It's our closest and brightest star other than our own sun. And this is also the gateway to Mother Isis and mythic importance of ancient cultures. So please remember these things this week coming up. Don't forget that Uranus-Pluto square we just went through. And, Annette, are you still with me after all that la-la-la?
Of course. Yes, it was wonderful. Very insightful.
Just like to give folks a little bit of a upcoming. I didn't give most of it, but, you know, we do have that full moon coming along. And I think if you begin to talk to people about what's going on influentially in the solar system, which is our neighborhood after all, then people start to expanding. They start to get the idea of expanding their awareness from just being in a town or a city or indeed on a planet, but being part of a greater existence as far as our solar system goes. I mean, cosmic and galactic connections are what we're all about this year, yeah?
Absolutely. And our consciousness is expanding and is connecting with all those outer world influences. And so we're part of it. It's not just something that has happened outside of us and is controlling us in some way. We are part of it.
Yes, and with every wag, we actually make choices that have an influence on all the rest. Tell me how you, well, I remember you, we were speaking before a couple of weeks ago, and you reminded me that you were down here in Florida, mm-hmm. and that you eventually made your way to Mount Shasta. And I'd just love it if you would tell folks about your journey and how you got there and how you became a trans channel.
Well, as you said in the introduction, I have experienced two near-death experiences as a child by the age of 14. And something happened when that happened. And I had this incredible feeling of safety and surrender to that force that has connected in that moment with me. And it, of course, it was a beautiful bright light, as so many report in this experience, because light is the essence of creation. And I, as a child, I had a very wild nightlife, so to speak. As a child, many times I had visitations from all kinds of beings of light, may it be angels, may it be our galactic family, may it be crossed over loved ones.
Wow.
And they all were interacting with me a lot. And I had this time, and back then I didn't understand it quite well, because it was very familiar, but it, of course, it was also something that no one else seemed to experience in that moment. As a child, you think you're the kind of like the only one in that moment. And with the later years, I realized that the pathway of a great portion of my family was that of a light worker's path. So my brother became an incredible animal communicator and also very spiritually evolved. My older sister was an energy healer and was doing a lot of light work in that realm. And then my aunt was doing her tarot readings and was doing using that instrument as a vehicle for her light work. And my parents were very psychic, which is not always great when you're a teenager. they pretty much always knew what was going on with me. There were no secrets ever. But I had a time where I suppressed a lot of my insights. I had a lot of psychic dreams, and back then I didn't know how to handle all the information that was coming in, and so eventually my channels were temporarily disabled a little bit, so that I was capable of getting through my adolescence and my early 20s, and so got my feet a little bit more on the ground. And when I was 25, I got the incredible call, the strong calling to move from my native country in Europe, Germany, to America. And I I couldn't explain to anybody why I was moving to America. Not even my family kind of got it. And I just had to say, I said, I have to go. I don't know why I have to go. It was this very strong sense of urgency that I have to come here for some reason. And so I ended up in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And in Florida, I first began what I knew, which was kind of like real estate and just trying to do like conventional work. And I was just going along my path, not knowing. And then in 2005, my grandfather that had passed on and about the day when I was born, so there was a certain link created between my birth and his death.
Uh-huh.
He kind of like was the spiritual godfather for my life. And so he started to appear a lot at night again, just as I experienced as a child. And he started to wake me up and said, Annette, it's time. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. You're on the wrong track with real estate. It was wonderful. It's time now to do your job, really, what you were supposed to do when you came here. You had an assignment, you had agreed upon something, you had picked out a master plan for your life, and now it's time. And so I started to enter a beautiful mentorship with a spiritual light worker in Florida, in Hollywood, and she took me under her wings. She was a lady in her, I believe, 60s, and a very, very bright light. And she taught me all the ins and outs, like the ABCs, the ethics, the everything that is included in your light work. I had the gifts and everything, but I still had to learn how to apply that in the real world here with people and how to even intensifying this gift even more. My work with Archangel Michael was really intensifying in the time as well. And I was working then in the Metaphysical Center where you and I met.
Yes.
What
was it called?
Back then it was Griffin's Loft. I don't
Griffin's
know what
Loft,
it's called.
That's correct. Yes. With Scott and, Rashid.
No. Oh, yes, Rashid, that's right.
Yeah. Yes,
it was wonderful there. And so I was known as the angel lady at Griffin's Loft. I was working a lot with the angels. I was doing a lot of work with Archangel Michael and the other angels and got my feet wet that way. And then I started to channel a book, what I thought it was very much my higher self, and I just let it flow. It was kind of like my first attempt at channeling, and I thought, well, that's fun. And eventually I was prompted to go on a book tour with this book.
What was the title of the book, Annette?
The book is called Portal to Spirit, Transition 2012, and
mm-hmm.
It was a basic pathway through the spiritual garden of your soul, so to speak. And so I went on book tour, and I thought, well, on that book tour, I'm going to probably talk a little bit about the book, and because I that was just between me and the computer, basically, the channeling. So the computer was a very patient listener and was very good with that. And so when I was going on this book tour, I just thought I'd hold seminars, maybe talk about 2012, about ascension and stuff. And on this book tour, I was like in front of like 75 people when I started talking, and all of a sudden I felt really tired in the midst of talking, and when I opened my eyes again, the audience looked really pretty surprised at me, because what happened was that I had trans-channeled. So I was kind of gone, and when I was waking up from it, while I was standing, it was really crazy.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
You you were addressing a large group of people on your book tour. Prior to that, though, your experience of channel, which I totally get, by the way, as a writer, was between you and the computer and the flow of thought in typing and just dictating,
yes.
Correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that was correct.
And when you were in front of this group of people, so you opened yourself up to it during the process of writing, correct? That's what
yeah.
I'm getting.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I thought that was an important point to make so that people, you know, get an idea of how these things go.
Yeah, yeah. And then in that moment, I was surprised because the first thought that came to mind was, really, guys, you didn't even want to give me a chance to practice with, like, a smaller group of people or with, like, one person. And they chuckled, of course, that group of beings that came through there. But anyway, what happened was really immediately I lost any kind of, like, nervousness to channel in front of people. So I was thrown into the cold water, and I had to start to swim. There was no other option here. And it turned out that it was very well received, and so I continued on this book tour. And back then it was more of a group of energies, like a team or a group of light beings that spoke through me, so there was not a particular name or anything. And and so then after the book tour finished, our wonderful economy changed. And so I had to take on some, back then, again, some real world work, so to speak.
Yes.
And I could not continue in Florida because I got another very strong call, just the one that I got in Europe back then, to come here to America. The same thing happened again, this incredible, strong. And it happened it happened to me very precisely at a very precise time. It was not a slow knowing. It was like literally like a flash of light came in, and I found myself with the absolute clarity that I have to go. So again, and back then already, my book tour had led me to move to Tampa as like a hub for flying in and out and stuff. And so as I was in Tampa, I was packing up already my boxes, and within 4 weeks, I knew I had to come to California. In that time, I came across a beautiful book by Diane Robbins, and she had written several books on Telos and the Hollow Earth. And the moment I read those books, there was such a deep, deep resonance with it, and in this book, she goes into that Telos is located in Mount Shasta, California, in the northern part of California. And and so that pull already really had set in to come closer. But the economical situation required me to be in Southern California, where there was bigger cities and where there was hopefully some work. And before I knew it, it was amazing because the economy was not really good. I still had my goal set on a very well-paid job. I just said, okay, this is the case. I just need a well-paid job. Everybody in Southern California told me, you're unrealistic with your expectations. Don't even bother applying for these kind of jobs. And I applied as a property manager. I had my background as a property manager. I was in real estate. I was a realtor and all this stuff. So I thought, well, it must be possible. And what do you know, before I could really look twice, I had a job as a property manager, and I had exactly earned the amount of money that I was looking for. But the community that I was managing was in a really rough part of town. I mean, there was a lot going on, and I could not believe that Spirit literally would put me into that neighborhood. I was such a sensitive and delicate channel. I was a channel. My energy fields were so important to me, and I was placed into this community that was so rough. and the people that were rough, there were gangs, and it was just awful. And I thought, are you kidding me, guys? Really?
What was
and so,
what was the purpose in it? I can imagine it. I understand. What was the purpose in it overall?
Well, as I kept asking Spirit, I said, guys, please tell me, what's the point here? I actually want to be in Mount Shasta. I don't want to even be here. I don't like this job. I want to quit. I wanted to quit every day, okay? Every day,
yeah.
I wanted to quit. Until an Ascended Master that already had been working with me in Griffin's Loft in Florida. His name is Saint Germain. And Saint Germain came to me and said, look, Annette, what we want you to do here is to see this community glowing with light, and you need to see it in its perfection, and you need to really direct the light towards this community. And I said, all right, if you say so. And so I started to do that, and it was incredible that the company that had hired me, they even had done some structural changes to my office, where I was then forced to go to the restroom at the other end of the community. I literally had to cross this community several times a day, and
mm-hmm.
I had to direct the light to all the areas of this community. It was 200 apartments, and I had to walk through, and I had to look at it in its light. And within 6 months, this community had completely transformed and was rewarded with the Community of the Year in Orange County Award. It was a very, very prestigious award in the business there. And it was incredible. I couldn't believe it. I personally didn't care so much for this award because I didn't want to do that just to begin with. I just tried not to get fired, honestly. But that was showing me personally, that
yeah.
wherever I am or wherever we are, that we can change our reality dramatically by continuing to looking at the perfection, by continuing to looking at the light of what is around us. And then the surrounding experience has no other choice as to follow that direction.
That's very, very important. That one thing that conclusion you came to, I wish you would state it again with a clarion voice, because a lot of people, including this blender, need to hear that very clearly, because I know that every time I get in the groove of doing that, things go well. Things change the way I would wish them or desire them to, so that I can do my job better. But can you just repeat that one more time?
Yes, yes. It's really easy to see what's wrong with our surroundings, but it's even easier to see what's right and to see it already glowing with light and see the people around us as angels, no matter what we think about them. I started to look at all the residents there, all these gangsters, all of them. I just picture them as angels. I didn't care what in that moment what was the reality, but they had no other choice. The moment they stepped into my office, they were like little puppy dogs. They were they couldn't help it. They had no other choice, because I was treating them like angels. And deep inside, every human being is longing to be good, actually, and to follow that. It's a relief for them, actually, when they can connect to that vibration, to be seen as an angel, as light, as good person. It's easier.
Yes.
And it's powerful. It's more powerful. We have a lot of assistance in that moment, and that transforms our reality, our experience. It transforms the world. I had believed it in theory, but after I have been in this community, I knew it works. This works when we step out of the house or within our house already to really see us to be in this magical place that we call our reality. It's magical. It's glowing and it's sparkling, and everything, the trees and nature is breathing light, and that is what kept me going. And so eventually my time was up. I was really in kind of like a resting place. I really knew my work was done in this community, and I couldn't wait to get out of it and to go to Manchester, but I was still kept in that preparation stage. Saint Germain told me, we know you want to leave, but you have to rest up because you're going to have a lot of work in front of you, so relax. Sometimes we feel like we're spinning the wheels, but that all has a purpose, the timing of it. And all of a sudden, I was sitting in my office when my heart stopped for a few seconds, and I couldn't breathe. And I felt all of a sudden in a vision. And in that vision, I was already walking upon Manchester with a beautiful staff, and I was seeing exactly the work I would do, the channeling and everything. It was so intense, I started to cry. It was so beautiful. And then after a few minutes, it was gone. I was back in my office, and I knew it's time. And I wrapped up everything, and within 4 weeks, again, I was moving up here to Sacred Manchester. And that is when the channeling became then more personified. So Adama then was ready to connect with me, and so he stepped in very clearly, and I was also shown that an aspect of my being lives in Telos, in that beautiful city underneath Manchester. It's part of the inner earth. And so I'm living with one foot in Telos and with one foot out here on the surface to do my work.
Now, can I ask you, Annette, from the way I understand it, the way I perceive it, Hollow Earth would be an other dimensional existence that is residing within Earth, but in another dimension, correct?
Yes, I would like to clarify the different locations. Inner Earth is what is considered Telos, that is underneath Manchester, the Agartha network, which is a city of light network within the Earth crust that goes like 400 miles down, and then 800 miles towards the center of the Earth is the Hollow Earth. And contrary to public belief or what scientists want to believe, the Earth core is not molten lava. The lava pockets are much closer to the surface. And these civilizations, they do exist in different dimensions, that is correct. We have, when we start from the surface, right underneath Manchester is Telos, they're in the higher levels or planes of the fourth dimension. Every dimension has about 7 different planes of existence. And so Telos is in the really highest planes of the fourth dimension. They do have, they are a little bit more physical. They are very real, depending on where, on the vantage point. When we raise our vibrational frequencies, we are capable of connecting with them more closely, and then that reality is as real as the reality that we're in right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and so as we go then deeper into the Earth core, we have the Agartha network. There are, they do exist in different dimensions as well. As we go then into the Hollow Earth, 800 miles into the center of the Earth, there is then the Hollow Earth in the fifth dimension. So there are definitely differences, and these civilizations are all connected. They visit each other, they exchange each other, they trade each other with each other, they have agreements, they help each other, and so there is a wide variety of civilizations that is existing. We need to understand that it is a very unique exception that people on planet Earth are living actually on the surface. On all other planets, the civilizations live within the planet. That is much safer, it is much more protected, and so it's very unique that we have this experience here on the surface. So,
radiation and starlight and the influences of the stars and other planets are all on the surfaces. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. So Hollow Earth and your teacher there in Mount Shasta that you were talking about, Diane is her name?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Diane Robbins. Mm-hmm.
Diane Robbins. Now, Hollow Earth and Zora. Can you tell us who the people who the beings are that you channel? Can you?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Adama, even you know, Archangel Michael. You know.
Sure. Well, when we start with Zora from Hollow Earth. Zora is located on the north polar entrance to the Hollow Earth, and he is kind of like a gatekeeper. He is mm-hmm. making sure that only those people have entrance into the Hollow Earth that are of a higher vibration. So that means that military or, you know, any other, like, forces that are not really having the highest of intentions, they are not capable of getting in, really. It is also
here you there.
Yeah, even though it's been attempted, and it is being attempted a lot.
Well, that's all up there is military and science.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, so he's making sure that whoever is entering there is of a high vibration. It is also mm-hmm. an intergalactic portal, obviously. There are a lot of interstellar communications, and so there are a lot of crafts are going in and out of the North and South Pole entrances. So this is the world of Hollow Earth and Zora, and Zora is trying to assist us in, like all of these beings of light, in our evolution. And then we have Archangel Michael that is probably known to many. He is also one of the four major archangels that are really being placed in charge with to assist humanity now in this really profound ascension journey. I mean, he has his hand full with that, for sure, to really ensure the highest light for this evolution. And he's working closely with the four major archangels, Uriel, Gabriel, and Raphael, and then also Saint Germain. So these are the main, I don't want to say orchestrators, but these are the ones that are really doing their best job and the best work to assist humanity, this planet Earth, the entire connected universe with it, so that it's all running smoothly. So they're in place with that. And Archangel Michael in specific has a very clear way and enlightened way, of course, to assist humanity in shifting from the lower vibrations to the higher vibrations. So he's kind of like the guy that you want to call on if you want to sever all the old karmic ties, karmic emotions, karmic stuff. So he's really wonderful with that. And so I have many clients that are working with Archangel Michael through me. So they love to work with that. And he is very practical, tangible exercises and ways and energetic things that he does to assist humanity as well. And then we come into Adama of Tellus. He is the high priest of the Order of Melchizedek, and he is the chairman of the Council of Twelve in Tellus. There is a council in Tellus. As with all the civilizations, they all have a council usually that is kind of like ensuring that the communications between the civilizations are being kept up and trying to find solutions for certain issues that are coming up between the civilizations and how to make collaboration even better. Also within the civilization of Tellus, the Council of Twelve is assisting in having all systems running smoothly. There are questions from the individuals and tellers in how to conduct certain things, they are able to assist with that. So he's the chairman of the Council of Twelve as well, and he is obviously one of the spokespeople that is interacting with the surface. He is very delighted to interact with surface humanity. He loves to bring the joy and the love of Telos to the surface, to inspire people to create their own beautiful reality, to create their own Telos, so to speak, on the surface, to create heaven on earth, which they all have in common. They all want to inspire and to show ways and to offer tools for humanity to evolve, to make it all easier and more joyful. And so he is definitely a good brother. He has a very brotherly energy that he brings forth, and he's very delighted to connect with all of you listeners here today and with you, Gwen.
So I'm going to take that as a moment that you would probably like to pause and connect with Adama or whomever you're going to channel. We spoke about doing a little pause with a song. Mm-hmm. Would you like to go into that now?
Sure. Before we do that, perhaps I can elaborate just for a couple minutes.
Sure.
about trans channeling, so that people also know what is taking place now. There are several different stages of channeling, as you now heard. Either it is automatic writing, where you're fairly aware and still conscious, and you're aware of your body and you're aware of your surroundings. And then there are forms of channelings where you feel less of yourself, and where you then can reach the stage of trans channeling, which is what I'm doing, where my consciousness to the highest amount is leaving my body. I'm stepping out of my body, and I allow for Adama to step in and to take over my body and my language center. So so that is what he can work with, my language center, and whatever I have in my language center, that is what he's able to utilize. But I don't remember anything usually afterwards. Glimpses of it, perhaps. It's like you wake up from a dream, and you can like bits and pieces you remember, but it's fading away already. So that is basically what is taking place, because I prefer to be really out of the way as much as I can, because I know that Adama is doing a best job, really, in coming through and bringing forth this information. So I remain a blank canvas, and I just get out of the way. I show up and get out of the way, basically.
Well,
so this is what it is.
I have worked, you know, ASA channels, Saint Germain occasionally. Mm-hmm. Used to, and I have experience with that, and I have attended a few channelings, but it's not something that this is for me a very not often experience, so I'm looking forward to it.
Mm, wonderful. So before we begin, I would like to create sacred space for all of you, the wonderful listeners, and you, Gwen. And we begin by taking a deep breath and exhale. And choose to close your eyes. Put your hand on your heart center. We now invite the presence of our beloved brother Adama in Telos. Invite also the presence of Archangel Michael, all the angels and archangels, all the ascended masters, all our galactic families and friends, all the elementals, the Deity Kingdom, the planet Kingdom, Crystal Kingdom, and all the guides that are with us, that walk with us and watch over us. And may this visit today be of the highest light, the highest love, the highest clarity, the highest inspiration, and the highest good of all that is. And so be it. So now it will take a few minutes for Adama to integrate And in that time, I invite you for the energies to come in.
Okay, I'll play a song.
Yes.
Yes, please. please.
Indeed. You see, over 12,000 years ago, there have been two civilizations in existence on this precious planet. There was the civilization of that you know as Atlantis, and the other civilization was known as Lemuria. And these two civilizations, they lived in harmony with each other for a long time. At some point, however, in the Atlantean civilization, something had changed because a planet of such beautiful harmony and luscious beauty, the outer galactic forces became very interested in this planet, and some of these forces thought perhaps that they might benefit of taking some of its resources, and so they have decided to connect with the Atlantean civilization and began to control and dominate a little bit more, and they operated on the frequency of power and greed and control. The Lemurians had tried to convince the Atlanteans to continue to live in harmony with this planet and not to deprive it of its resources. And so the meetings and conversations began to heating up between the leaders of these two civilizations. At some point, the Atlanteans were planning to create a very, very powerful weapon, a weapon that would destroy the entire planet and that would also destroy the delicate balance in this particular universe and solar system. When this was about to happen, the Lemurians sensed that this might happen, and they began to look for specific shelters to bring the residents of Lemuria into a safe place. And so they were seeking out the inner earth civilizations, which are led by what is called Shambhala. The Shambhala is kind of the overseeing council of the Agatha network. And so the Lemurians were seeking permission to bring their civilization into the inner earth. And the location was then granted and determined to be under the very solid and stable Mount Shasta, which is also known as a volcano that had created thousands of years ago a very large cavern underneath this mountain. It was then decided that the Lemuria would flee to this location, and back then they had about 150,000 people, and they knew the approximate date of the launch of the Atlantean weapon. They then were planning and trying to gather everything together. They stored many of the records in their crystalline structures, what you know now as the Great Pyramids in Gaza. Above these pyramids, you have the etheric temples, and so they were storing many of the records there, and they were also starting to store the records in Telos now, that you know as Telos. But the Atlanteans thought that they are smart, and they are smart, the whole agreement or the announcement of their launch of this weapon. And they did move this date a few days earlier than anticipated. And so, unfortunately, only 25,000 people were able to make it to Telos safely. The rest of Lemuria couldn't make it, because what happened was, when the highest councils of the galactic societies were aware of what is happening, they had to intervene. And the way they intervened, they were collaborating with planet Earth, with Mother Gaia. And she then was having a very large cataclysm. And everything was covered with water. It is known in many myths as the Great Flood. It has been recorded in many scriptures of many different cultures as the Great Flood. And this took place about 12,000 years ago. Then everything drowned. For some of you, many of you had past lives in Atlantis and Lemuria. And so for some of you, it might be helpful to release these notions, you see. Anyway, we all made it then to tell us. We were 25,000 people. We had much assistance then to continue our evolution safely within Sacred Mount Shasta. And we were capable to expand the number of residents to now, today, 1.5 million residents in Telos underneath Mount Shasta. Telos is beautiful. It is in many different layers arranged. You find in one layer the hydroponic gardens that are growing all the needed vegetables and fruits with hydroponic crystalline technologies. And then you have also a nice green area, a level of greenery, where all the trees and animals reside. You find many extinct animals there as well, as they found this as a new refuge for their evolution. And we want to extend also that the animals do not eat each other anymore. They have evolved into just plant eaters. And so when you do visit Telos one day, you will have it very easy to interact with these precious animals because they do not know fear anymore, you see. And you will be capable of hearing them speak even. Yes, indeed. And then you have, of course, the organizational level in Telos, where everything is being organized and governed. And then you have, of course, the residential level, where all of us live. And the buildings that you can see in Telos are all round and of crystalline material. We do not cut trees to use it as building material. No, we are building our homes with crystalline structures. And these crystalline structures are being created through our heart phase and manifestation tools that we have. You see, these buildings, these residences, are beautiful. You can see outside. They are clear from when you sit inside, but when you are outside, you cannot see in, which ensures privacy. But we are fully connected, you see, to our surroundings. We have understood the concept of unity and oneness with everything, you see. The temperatures in Telos are always in the mid-70s because, you see, the climate is reflected through our consciousness as it is also on the surface, beloved ones. You will realize more and more how much the climate is connected to the mass consciousness. So we went forth to create an optimum and perfect climate in Telos. We have different light sources, crystalline light sources, to ensure a very soft light. And when the plants need, because we don't have rain, you see, when they need water, it is coming in form of a mist. You see, there is a mist that Mother Nature is generating at the right time when the plants need it, and it is taking for a few minutes, and then they are all nourished. We wish to expand on that a little because you might be feeling already how Mother Nature is capable of healing herself, providing for herself exactly what she needs if there is no interference, you see. So we allow for Mother Nature to nourish herself to the degree that she needs and to replenish herself and to repair herself always. And that works wonderfully because she knows exactly what she needs. So you will find beautiful, lush areas in Chelos as well. It is a place of beauty and harmony and joy. You see, it could be used perhaps on the surface for you as inspiration to create something similar on the surface for you. How does that sound, beloved?
It sounds like a paradise. I have a question, Adama, if I may ask.
Please do.
How does the, you know, overwhelming situation of the planet on the surface affect Telos right now as we go through this great change with all of its polarities and balancing?
It does not, beloved one, because we do exist in a different plane of dimension, yes? It does not affect us. We are looking in our surroundings only for beauty. When I, for example, step out and interact with you on the surface, we are always capable of finding the beauty and the light within every situation. As the channel has expressed before, you might be able to connect the link here. You see, even if we just briefly look at what is going on the surface, we immediately go back and visualize it or envision it in its perfection. Do you see?
I think I understand what you're saying. Yes, I do. Are you, I have another question, may I ask?
Indeed.
I know that your channel is working on the expanded chakra system right now, and I was wondering if you could give us an idea of or some of the small steps into understanding the greater expansion of our chakras and how it can help us with our multidimensional consciousness that allows us to access Telos and other communities of people, beings, energies that basically are here for us to interact with at this time.
Yes, indeed. We, of course, wish to speak about yourself. Chakra system. You see, as you heal and clear and balance your seven chakras that you are more familiar with, you are then able to move on to your 12 chakra system. In your ascended state, you are able to see and use and to integrate all 12 chakras. There are more chakras to your being than 12, but for you to leap over the threshold to your ascension, the 12 chakras are required, you see. Now, we wish also to share with you, beloved one, that the colors of your seven chakra systems are changing. They have served for a long time in the way that you know them. But now it is time for you to take the next step in your ascension and to allow for the new colors of the new chakra system to come in. And what we have for you from Telos are all the crystalline temples that are available for you to visit in your light body and to connect to these different ascension rays, we call them, the rays of your chakra system. Each chakra has a corresponding crystal temple here in Telos. And as you visit each temple, you are capable of connecting with these new colors, the new energies, the new light vibratory actions that are within each ray, you see. That is the reason why we are working with the channel right now in creating lessons or inspirations for you to connect and visit these temples. So that it's really easy, you see. We love things to flow easy. And when we invite you to these temples, you just visit there and you just allow for the energies to do their work. And you can interact with them to the degree that you wish to and do profound work as well. So the 12 chakra system is very important on your journey to ascension. And we are here with the 12 activations of light together with our brother Michael. Archangel Michael is doing his portion of it in each of these segments to allow for you two different experiences. We take you in your light body to tell us. You receive and interact with the new ray. And Archangel Michael then allows for you a direct experience while you are in your body. And he's bringing in the energies that way to your experience. Does it make sense?
Yes, it does. Can you elaborate a little bit on the new colors and anchors of the chakras for us?
Well, what we wish to do is to tell you about the new colors, and perhaps if you wish, you can visit us today. Would you like that?
Certainly, certainly.
So you can take a look around in this beautiful city of light that is underneath Manchester. Yes, indeed. We wish to first speak of the root chakra. The ray of the root chakra is a brilliant white. It is connecting with the ascension ray. The sacral chakra then is connecting with the violet flame, the violet ray, which is balancing the feminine and masculine energies. Then this solar plexus chakra is a golden color, the golden ray of resurrection. And in your heart center, you have the pink ray of cosmic love. In your throat chakra, this remains blue for the divine will of God, the ray of truth, you see. Then your third eye will change to the emerald green healing ray, and it will assist you to visualize and to see your reality in its healed and perfect state. Yes, indeed. The crown chakra, then, will be a light yellow, which will connect you with the mind of God. Indeed. Yes, indeed. And you have then also the eighth chakra, which is grounding you back with your other seven chakras as well, which has a kind of a turquoise tinge to it as well. And then you have your ninth chakra, which has like a pink peach tinge together. This is working back also with your heart center. You see, the 12 chakras, we like to throw that in, they are corresponding with your seven chakras. They are some sort of extension to it as well, you see.
Yes.
You have, please, yes?
Yes.
Indeed. You are then capable of moving on to the 10th chakra, which has an opalescent color, which is also contributing to your galactic connections as well. Because you are all galactic beings, you see. Yes, indeed. And then you have your 11th chakra, which is going even further out in your consciousness, connecting you with the source and creator entities even more, the Godhead as well. You have a play of colors there as well. There is some violet in it and a combination of different aqua colors. It is also, you see, when you remember the energies of dolphins, perhaps, and whales. Yes, indeed. And the 12th ray, again, is a prism of all the colors. All the five higher chakras are continuing to change their colors, though. We wish to address this real briefly with you, beloved Sister Gwen, because we know that you might have in your mind already the workings of your oils. Yes, indeed.
Yes. Yes, I do.
You do. And we know that you are very well connected to these energies as well, yes?
I do my best. I do my best.
So with the colors, beloved ones, with the five higher rays, don't worry too much because they are still changing. You see, humanity now is on the threshold to connect to these five higher rays. And as this mass consciousness is connecting to it, the colors are being customized. You see, whatever serves this ascension has the best. You understand?
I do. I think I do.
It's changing the way the seven chakras are changing now its colors, yes? It is a constant process. And we wish to extend to you, dearest one, to use perhaps quite a few colors on your little label that you put in your oils. We love your oils, beloved one. You are doing profound work with all the energies that you put into the oils. Your energies are reaching far out into the universe even. Beloved Gwen, you have much assistance. Yes, indeed. So allow for many colors to be represented on the little label and allow for the individual then to see the appropriate color for their spiritual evolution. Does it make sense?
Yes, I think I'm understanding you by relating, especially in whatever literature I'm creating, that people are to encourage people to reach out with their own instincts and intuitions and connecting to their guides to align with the colors that they work with these new chakras.
Indeed. Indeed. Now, beloved one, are you able, with your timeline, that we invite you for a little visit to tell us? Would you like that?
That would be wonderful. It would be wonderful. We have about, we've gone over 7 minutes, but I still have minutes to spare here.
Indeed. You see, you will learn more about the use of time and how you can expand the time available to you. So what will feel now in this meditation is a very long time will be on your clocks, not too much time. Yes?
Yes.
Indeed. And now we invite you now, all of you, to close your eyes, to take a deep breath in. And exhale. And now you see, feel, and perceive a beautiful vehicle of light in front of you. It can have any shape or form that you wish. You can design it then yourself. Some may choose the shape of a Merkaba, or some may choose the shape of a ship, of a spaceship. And as you are now connecting to this beautiful vehicle of light, it is sparkling in beautiful white light. You now decide to enter this vehicle of light together with your guides that are with you. And now you will see, feel and perceive already the joyous energies in this vehicle of light. And now this vehicle of light lifts up and it is raising higher and higher, higher and higher. And now you are approaching our sacred Mount Shasta. And as you are coming closer, you already can see a beautiful opening in the mountain. And in this opening, there are already beings, some tell us, waiting you, welcoming you. And now you are flying through this opening into a very large cavern, several miles high, glowing in beautiful soft light. And you can see already the several levels in the city of Manchester, the golden city of light within this mountain. And now your vehicle of light has arrived, and you decide to step out of this vehicle. As you step out of this vehicle, you can feel the air humming with love. There are beautiful sounds already that sound like the song of the spheres. And you can see the lush landscape, all the trees and flowers and animals already. You are now welcomed by your guide here from Telus that will bring you to the center of this beautiful city. As you are approaching the center, you see a crystalline pyramid in the center. It is 20 feet tall and has four sides. It is glowing with light. As you are all standing around now, this pyramid of light, you are invited to put your hands on this pyramid of light to absorb some of the energies from Telus that you can bring back into your physical body. And so, as you feel guided, step forth and put your hands on this pyramid of light and begin to feel the energies of Telus coming into your light body. Breathe it in, beloved. The energies feel loving, crisp, powerful, refreshing, beautiful. Breathe it in. As you have completed now your connecting with these energies, your guide now will bring you to a different area of Telus, which is a beautiful meadow area. You see very tall trees, beautiful animals, butterflies flying around. And there is a creek that you are invited to approach. This creek has the purest water available. It is clear and sparkling and of beauty. And your guide now is handing you a crystal glass. And you are welcome to fill this glass with these beautiful pure waters of Telus and to drink it, which will allow for you to integrate the energies of Telus even more so. So please go ahead now and drink it all in. you feel it's nice and cool, refreshing, expanding into your entire body. Take it all in, beloved ones, as you begin to make your way back to your vehicle of light. And please know that you are always welcome to visit us in your meditations or at night time, in your dreams, you see. So now you are approaching your vehicle of light. You have a seat there. And this vehicle of light now is coming back to the room where you are sitting. It is landing right in front of you. And your light body is getting out of this vehicle now. And now you are inhaling your light body through your heart center with a deep breath in. And as you exhale, allow for the energies to expand in your body outward into your aura. Welcome back, beloved. Until we speak again, beloved, we send you our utmost love. We are complete.
Thank you, Adama.
Hi there.
Hi there, Annette.
Hi, Dwayne.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me on your wonderful show.
Well, and thank Adama, and perhaps you will come back and visit with us and let Adama take us back to Telos and also to share maybe whatever's good, you know?
Sure, sure. I'm sure he will be happy to do that. He's always happy to connect with the surface.
I always schedule in an extra 30 minutes for an hour show, but I always schedule in an extra 30 minutes. I'm glad I did tonight.
Yeah. It was fun. Yeah.
It was.
It was wonderful.
And I certainly appreciate your time and sharing with my audience. And we'll get this out there so folks can hear it. And Adama gave us some wonderful information, especially about the chakra system. That's wonderful stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I'll have to listen to it.
It'll be up in about, a half an hour, and you can play it back.
Oh, good. So I get the benefit, too, of whatever he has to share.
There you go. Well, I want to thank all our listeners who are out there right now and the ones who listen and archive always. We appreciate you very much, the podcasters. I want to also remind everyone that we'll be back, Jack and I, for the Sunday show. And we were supposed to have Denise Morrison from Tulsa on the show this weekend to talk about her garden and her fight with the city for her medicinal plants. Please excuse me there. Once again, that's at 6 p.m. on Sunday. Jack Jodell and I and Annette, thank you so much. And thank Adama and Archangel Michael and Zora of Hollow Earth for coming and spending this time with us this evening.
Thank you, Gwen, for having me and for having all these wonderful beings of light. I send many blessings of love and light to all of you. May love, joy, laughter, and harmony be with you always.
Thank you, darling. We'll speak with you soon. And that is our show for this evening. Next week, I expect Nicole to be back with us and out of the studio. And I have no idea who's going to be with us or who isn't, but hey, stop by, hear us, see us, be with us. And until then, be safe out there, folks, and remember to surround yourself with light, anchor to the earth, and heal the mother. This is the Consciousness Shift from Here Be Monsters, and I'm Gwen Berry, and our guest, Annette Sasu, also known as Asara, who is with us this evening. That's the end of our show, folks. Be well.
Bye.